Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and this is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join us once again as we get into the Word of God on our second part in terms of the Netcast of living in favor. Now, I say it that way because we're talking about the same topic of living in favor on the Word of Faith broadcast, which is our radio broadcast. Now, that's heard on Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. I'd encourage you to tune us in every Monday through Friday at 11:30. Now, that's Eastern Time, and that is, of course, right after Brother Kenneth Copeland's program that comes on at 11 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. So I encourage you to tune us in then. And then the audio from this very video netcast is aired on WFR.org Sunday mornings at 9:30, right after Brother Copeland's program at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Of course, that's Eastern time. So I'd encourage you to tune in, and we're just really excited about what God's doing through Word of Faith Radio. I'm working with Harold and Peggy Cagle at Word of Faith Radio as a technical director, basically a reference for all the various technical issues that come up. So, you know, I suppose if something goes wrong, then it's probably my fault, but we won't go there. Now, we're trying to work out some of the technical issues that we have been having. We had a bad router and connection to the internet, and that was causing some issues. Hopefully those have been cleared up now, and you won't be having the kind of problems that maybe you have had. And I plan to do some things in the near future that I think will be a blessing to a lot of folks about how to hear Word of Faith Radio, no matter where you are, no matter what kind of technology you have at your fingertips, you know, you will be able to tune in Word of Faith Radio. And that's probably going to be a video that I'm going to put together among all my other projects I have going. But anyway, I want to try to get that done, because I think it will be helpful to a lot of folks. Now, we've been talking about this topic of living in favor. I want to go a little different direction, and I'm going to go to my electronic Bible here, of course, which is eSword. I love eSword, e-sword.net, and I'll put that address up here on the screen. It is absolutely free. I love what this brother has done that has written this electronic Bible. He has made it absolutely free. And you can get a lot of features in this Bible literally for free. And then you can buy additional modules, you know, not from him, but from a supplier that will give you the more modules in the right format to plug them into eSword and be able to get, for instance, the Amplified, other editions of the Bible that, you know, have a charge associated with them. So it's a real blessing. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And we're reading this out of the New King James. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, a couple of things I want to point out before we go any further about this particular verse of Scripture is this word grace. Now, as I said in the last netcast, we're not talking about greasy grace doctrine here. You know, I call it that, greasy grace. Some people call it hyper grace. You know, basically it is an error that has crept into the church concerning grace. But you know, there is a biblical sound teaching on grace, and grace is very important. It's a topic that we should talk about and should teach about. But unfortunately, there's been a lot of bad teaching. Teaching that says things like, you don't have to obey the Word of God anymore. You don't have to even read the Word of God anymore. That, you know, the logical conclusion, a lot of what they teach is, you don't even have to get born again because everybody's going to be saved because God loves everybody and that's just the way it is. He just wants to bless people. There's not going to be any kind of eternal judgment. You know, all of these things that are really unscriptural. I can promise you, they are unscriptural. Okay, but again, there is a legitimate, strong, powerful teaching concerning grace. And one aspect of this is that this word grace can also be translated, and I'm talking about here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 in the New Testament, this word grace can be translated favor. Okay, favor, which is what we're talking about, living in favor. So let's read it that way. We're not taking anything or adding to anything here. This is, you know, actually what the word means if you look it up. So let's read it that way. You therefore, my son, be strong in the favor that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at this word Christ. Now, you've heard Brother Kenneth Copeland, I'm sure, make this statement that Christ is not a rank that Jesus has. Or if you look at it as Jesus Christ, it is not his last name. Okay? The word Christ literally means the anointed one and his anointing. Okay? So it's saying that Jesus is the anointed one. And that his anointing is, of course, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God, the third person of the Trinity, he is the anointing, okay? And we know that the anointing, the Bible tells us this, the anointing himself, now the King James says itself because of the way the Greek is used, but it literally is he because the Holy Ghost is a he. He is a person, he is an individual. But it complete that scripture I was about to quote, the anointing himself will teach you. Well, the anointing that it's speaking of there is the Holy Ghost. He will teach us because he reveals to us all things. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I just wanted to introduce that thought. The anointing here, Christ Jesus, when it says that, it's talking about the anointed one and his anointing. So again, let's go back and read it in that context. You therefore, my son, be strong in the favor that is in the anointed one and his anointed, our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Now we're getting somewhere, okay? Now we're beginning to see some insight into some things. And we've only got one verse of scripture that we've read so far. We've referred to a few, but in terms of reading them, this is where we're at. But I want to dig in just a little deeper here. There are a set of truths that Brother Kenneth E. Hagin brought out. And actually, I heard him on his radio program, you know, Rhema Bible Training Center that he founded. And of course, his son, who is now Pastor Kenneth Hagin, is pastor of the local church there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. He is also the head of Rhema Bible Training Center. And his father, Kenneth E. Hagin, was asked many times, what do you do to study the Bible? And Brother Hagin always said he had the same advice for anyone that wanted to study the Bible, and that is, go through the New Testament and find all the scriptures, all the verses that say in him, in whom, in Christ Jesus, and apply them to you. Obviously, where that's appropriate. Yeah, there are some verses of Scripture that obviously are not lending themselves to who we are in Christ. But the point of what he's saying is to look at who we are in Christ. Okay, our position is called positional understanding. Okay, and that's what we're looking at. What is our position in Christ Jesus? And this is one of those in him Scriptures. So again, let's go back and look at it. You therefore, my son, talking to Christians here. This is Paul writing to Timothy, who is a young minister. You therefore, my son, be strong in the favor, in the grace that is in the anointed one and his anointing in Christ Jesus. So we have positional truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. We have the fact that it is the anointing, the Holy Ghost that we're talking about being in here. And then being strong in this favor, the favor that we've been studying. Now, we've talked about the fact so far in our study that God intended that the human race do something specific and be something specific. What is that? Well, I'm referring to what he told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, be fruitful multiply, and have dominion. Threefold. And that is a blessing. And matter of fact, we call it the capital T, B, blessing, capital B, the blessing. And the blessing that he gave them was be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. Now, without going back and reteaching everything I've already talked about, a key to this is that we're not talking about just repopulating the earth. Okay, we're not talking about just having a whole bunch of kids. Although having children is a blessing. Okay, praise the Lord. But being fruitful, multiplying, that speaks of abundance. We receive abundance. Amen. That can be financial. That can be in your crops, for instance, in their day. Today, it would be our bank accounts. Amen. We're fruitful and we multiply. God, it says, gives us the ability, knowledge, capability to get wealth. Now, not just to become rich and drive the fanciest car. That's not the point. He does it to establish his covenant in the earth, meaning we get in the finances to preach the gospel, to carry the gospel to the whole world. That takes finances. He also does it to confirm to us his covenant of being fruitful, multiplying, and having dominion. So he confirms his covenant by giving us the ability, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and ability to get or receive financial blessing or wealth, in order that that covenant he has with us of multiplication and blessing be established. You see, there's a twofold meaning there. One, he gives us the ability, knowledge, wisdom to get wealth in order to establish his covenant, meaning preach the gospel, and to establish his covenant, meaning to us. Okay, there's a lot of scriptures like that have what Brother Charles Capps calls a twofold meaning. And I like that because it's true. You can look at it either way, and both are 100% scriptural. You can follow up that thought and take that thought and look at a lot of other scriptures and confirm that. That's why the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Okay? What he's talking about there, particularly with regard to the scripture, is don't just find one scripture and try to stand on that one scripture. Find two or three or even more to stand on. If you are trying to stand to receive your healing based on one scripture, you know, I can guarantee you Satan's going to come and try to tell you every kind of way that that scripture doesn't apply to you. But if you can just inundate him with scripture, you know, every healing scripture you can find, you just keep quoting and listening to and meditating on. I like something that Brother, Larry Hutton, name slipped my mind there for a second. Brother Larry Hutton has a CD that he has called Health Food, and it's just scriptures. And as a matter of fact, it's scriptures from every, well, not every version of the Bible, but a lot of different versions of the Bible, and he just reads them. He doesn't make any comment on them. He just reads them. And if you listen to that, it will feed you, feed your faith concerning the subject of healing. And that's profitable if you're believing to receive your healing. He has another CD called Wealth Food, kind of interesting. And those are scriptures that have to do with finances. Now, that's because those are two areas that a lot of Christians have issues in and particularly have had, frankly, poor teaching in. There's been a lot of teaching of doubt and unbelief ostensibly in the church trying to tell you that you're supposed to be poor and you're supposed to be sick. And as a matter of fact, God made it that way. Well, no, we know better than that. We've seen that from the scripture. Okay? But if that's all you've heard for years, sometimes it's hard to dig that out. I like what Brother Noel Hayes said one time. He said he got down on the floor of his living room. And he got down on the floor and he beat the floor and he said, "Oh Lord, deliver me of my First Baptist mind. Lord, deliver me of my First Baptist mind." And I know what he's talking about. I was raised, not initially in the First Baptist Church. I was raised in Mills Home Baptist Church. Yeah, I even named it. And my mom and dad worked at the Baptist orphanage at Mills Home in Thomasville. And I grew up in the Mills Home Baptist Church. But then I moved to Denton and actually went to First Baptist Church. So that First Baptist did apply finally. But at any rate, the point is I was raised Baptist. And I heard Baptist doctrine. And I tell you what, I treasure what I learned from the Baptist denomination. I learned all about salvation. I learned that whosoever meaneth me, praise the Lord. I learned that I could receive my Jesus as my Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead and I would be saved. Hallelujah. I heard all of that and I believed all of that and I got born again in the Baptist church. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Now listen closely. They never taught anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not pro, not con. Okay, in my Baptist church. They never taught anything about speaking in other tongues. Pro or con, in my Baptist church. It was so far into our thinking, it didn't even come up. You know what I'm saying? But at any rate, later on, when I went to a Full Gospel Business Men's meeting and did receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues and went back to my Baptist church and started telling them, because at the time I was actually teaching occasionally in the church. The pastor there would give the service over to me, particularly on Sunday evenings, and I would teach. And I got up one Sunday evening after I taught, after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues and hit every verse of Scripture in the book of Acts where they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Woo! My goodness. It was amazing. It was quite an experience. I didn't know any better. I was in college. I was young. And I just jumped in there. I said, it's Bible. I'm going to teach it. One thing the Baptists say, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's what they say. But the truth of it is, God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Amen. God said it, and that's just all there is to it. He said it. He never lies. He's God. So that does settle it. But at any rate, so I taught that. We had some people come down. And I took them into the back room, and we prayed. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. Woo! I tell you, the pastor of that church, he was not a happy man. He came back the next Sunday, and he proceeded to teach that it was all of the devil. Well, now, I hadn't heard that. Nobody told me that speaking in tongues was of the devil. Nobody told me that the baptism of the Holy Ghost wasn't for today. I'd never heard that. And I was shocked and perplexed because I'd seen all the scriptures of how it was real. And so I started studying further and found out, oh my goodness, it was even more valid, than I knew that it was because I was very unlearned in the scripture. Okay? So anyway, long story short is you only believe, listen to this closely, you only believe what you have heard. And you believe more strongly in what you hear consistently. Okay? That's one of those Selah moments right there. Okay? You can take that to the bank. You only believe what you have heard and are hearing, and you believe more strongly in what you hear consistently. Now, what do I mean by that? If you're constantly hearing teaching that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues is of the devil, then you're going to believe that, oh my goodness, and no matter what anybody says, and even no matter what the Bible says, you're going to argue against it. You know what I'm saying? But now if you hear what the Bible says, you believe what the Bible says, let's say concerning healing, people are telling you healing's of the devil, and yet you begin to read the Bible and find out that there is absolutely no instance given where Jesus laid hands on somebody and they got sick. And yet if God was making people sick, you'd think there'd be at least one instance somewhere in the Bible where Jesus laid hands on somebody and said, now, it's God's will that you be sick. He never did that. Everybody he laid hands on got healed unless there was one instance where the folks did not receive fully what he had available through the anointing, through laying hands on them, because of their unbelief. Amen. Oh boy, I'm getting off on some rabbit trails, I tell you. But sometimes those rabbit trails are worth following. Praise God. I'm going to use, because I had not intended to get into this, I'm going to use the good old search function in ESORD. And we will just look that up. I know it's in the Gospels. Mark 6:6. I thought it was in Mark. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark 6:6. Oh, my. Actually, let's begin in verse 1. That's a good place to begin here. Check my time because I had not intended to get into this. But anyway, Mark 6:1. He went out and came from there and came to his own country. In other words, where he was originally from, where he grew up as a child. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. In other words, this would be like me going back to First Baptist Church, the local church that I grew up in. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter?" See, he grew up there, and he was a carpenter. And they said, "The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon," in other words, all his brothers were there, "and are not his sisters here with us?" So see, Mary and Joseph had additional children who were brothers and sisters, notice, plural, brothers and sisters, here with us, so they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now, this is the New King James. Make that clear. Now, look at verse 5. "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." And what was his answer to their unbelief? "He went about the villages in a circuit teaching." In other words, a circuit teaching ministry, you know, just like the old circuit preachers. You know what I'm saying? Woo, hallelujah. Let's look at it out of the King James. I know that's more familiar to a lot of folks. It says, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." Notice that the answer to unbelief is teaching the Word of God. Why? Because, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, I like to put it this way, put a little different emphasis. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God taught. Amen? In other words, if you hear the Word of God taught concerning healing, you're going to get faith for healing. If you hear the Word of God talk concerning doubt and unbelief, now you say, Word of God talking about doubt and unbelief? I'm saying if you're in a church service, the Word of God is not going to teach you doubt and unbelief. Okay, but I'm trying to get your thinking. I'm trying to strike your thinking here. So let's look at it this way. You go to church. Preacher opens up his Bible and then proceeds to give you a barrage of doubt and unbelief. This doesn't work. That doesn't work. You know, it's like the old story about the little girl that came to church one day and she had a leather back of a Bible with one page in it. And the pastor looked at her and said, "Well, little girl, what happened to your Bible?" She said, "Oh, brother pastor, every time, you know, you said this wasn't for us today, I pulled that page out of my Bible, and I expect to lose the last one today and the cover." Well, obviously that pastor had been preaching doubt and unbelief from the pulpit. You see what I'm saying? So if you're preaching doubt and unbelief, and you're hearing doubt and unbelief will come by hearing doubt and unbelief. That's my point, all right? So what some people call preaching the gospel isn't really gospel, because gospel means good news. You see what I'm saying? Gospel means good news. See, Dr. Bill, what does all this have to do with favor? Well, we're talking about living in favor. We're talking about what you have to do to live in favor. And we got off on a rabbit trail. But I tell you what, I like this rabbit trail. This is a pretty good rabbit trail. We're going to stick with it just a bit. All right. Oh, my. Well, let's go back to 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2, where we left off. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, in the favor that is in Christ Jesus." Now let's go on to verse 2. We'll make a little further progress in what we were going to talk about. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, why do you commit these things to faithful men? Faithful men. Men who are consistent and strong and faithful. Why? So that they'll be able to teach. Why? Because when they teach, people hear consistently, faithfully, the Word of God, and they grow. Amen? Do you see this process? I hope you do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been making the point on the radio program that as soldiers, we should endure hardness. There's some hardness. There's some persecution that comes with teaching the uncompromising word of faith. I'm telling you. But you should endure that because we're on a mission. Soldiers have a mission. And we're soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this sense. He's using this somewhat metaphorically, but the point is, we have a mission. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, no man that warreth, or is a soldier, entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who chose him to be a soldier. And I like what, I believe it's the New King James, that's the King James there. Let's go to the New King James. And there it says, no one engaged in warfare, this is verse 4, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You're enlisted in the army of God, so to speak. Amen? And we have a mission. And the mission is critical. And that's to reach the world with the uncompromising gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're called to live in favor. We're called to live in blessing, multiplication, and dominion, so that we can get the message to the world. And it's critical in these last of the last days that we do just that. Amen? Whew, I tell you, we're getting in some good stuff. I really don't want to stop here, but we got to for sake of time. So we'll stop right here and we'll pick it up next time. Now, I want to encourage you, listen to Word of Faith Radio, as I mentioned, WFR.org. Go to our website, WOFM.org. We've got a lot of teaching there. We've got audio and video resources. We've got a lot of good things that you can get into there. You have any questions, comments, whatever, write me here at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Or if you want to drop me a letter, you can do that at Word of Faith Ministries, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. I'd love to hear from you either by email or by our mailing address. Either way, I'd love to hear from you. Also, I want to mention our SpeakFaith.tv Roku channel. If you have a little Roku box, and as a matter of fact, if you want to go to the website www.speakfaith.tv, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a place you can click on that banner, and it will take you to a special deal on a Roku box. If you get that Roku box and subscribe to our SpeakFaith.tv channel, you can hear not only this video broadcast, but you can also hear Pastor Ed Taylor, my pastor, Pastor of Faith and Victory Church. You can hear Pastor J.B. Whitfield from Agape Faith Church. You can hear Larry Hutton, Dr. Larry Hutton that I mentioned earlier. Jerry Savelle, Dr. Jerry Savelle, and you can just receive from this teaching. Consistently hearing the Word of God is how you grow in these things. Okay? Consistently hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So consistently hearing these things will help you grow in the things of God. Praise the Lord. I'm just so glad you could join us for this teaching. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.